السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. یو نو سم ٹائمز اللہ تعالیٰ یوزز سرٹن پیپل ٹو گیٹ سرٹن تھنگز ڈن. سو وی بزی ود دا بایوگرافی آف سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ تعالیٰ عنہ. ناؤ وی نو عمر رضی اللہ عنہ واز واٹ اے تھنکر. سو مینی ٹائمز whatever his opinion was, right, his opinion Allah Ta'ala even sent down ayat of the Quran Sharif confirming the opinions of Umar radiallahu anhu. So many times Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have mentioned something which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made, took that decision out of mercy and compassion for the ummah, but Umar radiallahu anhu then looked at it from a different dimension and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed with Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. So such was his foresight and his thinking and everything. However, when it came to the Persian Empire, Umar radiallahu anhu was very reluctant to go into Persian territory. He was very reluctant to advance. In fact, he made a statement, he said, look, the people of Basra, they must be content with having the countryside and Ahwaz. In other words, no need to go deeper into these people's territory. In fact, he used to say, I wish there was a mountain of fire between us and the Persians. So they can't come this side, we can't, we don't go that side. Neither of us must be able to cross it. However, Sahaba radiallahu anhum and other now tabi'een etc. delegation, they went to Umar radiallahu anhu to persuade him. Persuade him that now, you know what, you got to allow us to go further into the Persian territory. So there was one person, Ahnaf bin Qais radiallahu anhu. So he said, oh Amirul Mu'mineen, I must say that while you stopped us from invading more land, and you told us to be content with what we have already, but the Persian emperor is still alive. So the Persian emperor, he is still alive, and he is among his people. For as long as he is alive and he is among his people, they will continue to be a threat to us. He will all, two kings can't exist in one place. One will always want to overthrow the other. I think we only fight the armies that are sent to us. But who's sending them? Say the king. Because the king is still alive, he's going to keep doing this. They will continue attacking us until you permit us to spread into their territory. And we need to dethrone him. This Persian king, we must dethrone him. Only then their hopes will be dashed, they'll lose heart, and basically, in other words, he was saying, they'll stop being a thorn in our side. So when Ahnaf bin Qais radiallahu anhu, he explained it like this, then Umar radiallahu anhu said to him, said, by Allah, you have spoken the truth. Now here again, you see, Sahaba radi, and it's for us to learn. Sometimes we are in a mashwara, we gave a certain rai. Right? Now we mustn't be bullheaded with our rai. Because maybe we are not looking at something from a certain angle. Now somebody else may be junior to us, but that person gives a rai, we must listen to the rai with an open mind. Don't just, if that rai is conflicting my viewpoint, so now I just shut off. Or this fellow, he doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't know what he's saying. He got no experience in this matter. No. Look at Umar radiallahu anhu. He heard him out. He listened to Ahnaf bin Qais. And after that he says, see, you have spoken the truth. Now, the way you explained it, you have made everything very clear to me. Right? So after this, Umar radiallahu anh then gave permission that entire Persia must be invaded. Right? So all these wars that we were discussing, right, was all through the barakat of this mashwara, of this rai that Ahnaf bin Qais gave. So the historians, when they write about this, they say Ahnaf bin Qais changed the course of history. His decision, Allah Pak used him at that time, that, you know, the way he explained it to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, Allah Ta'ala opened his heart and made him see it the way Allah Pak wanted for it to be. And then he gave permission that, right, now you can invade. So the Muslims then expanded the frontiers, right? And they swallowed up whatever lay beyond them. Ahnaf was put in charge of Khurasan, the Khurasan front. Other generals received commands of other sectors. And Umar radiallahu anh personally drew the war plan. And he plotted the future moves intricately, including where and when to send reinforcements. Umar radiallahu anh was always had his finger on the pulse. It wasn't that he just sent the people and then he just sat back. Now this is also something we learn in our lives. Whether it is your family, the husband, he has got a wife, he's got children, he must have his finger on the pulse. What's going on in my home? My children, their tarbiyat, what they're studying, what they're learning, who's their friends. You know, when we read the lives of the Akabirin, I think it was Sheikh Zakaria Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, that if his father saw him standing next to the same person for two namazes, he questioned him. So what taluk you got with that person? Why is all time you were standing next to him, asar time again you're standing next to him? Now although his father was such a busy man, senior, adim, everything, but he had his finger on the pulse. What is my son up to? You run a business, you got a manager, you got staff, whatever, but you must have your finger on the pulse. You must know in every department what's happening. You're teaching, you're in a madrasa, you're running a hips class. The students mustn't be able to take you around the merry-ground. You must know exactly, right, what paras, what he got, what door he read, what he never read, everything. You must have your finger on the pulse. Now look at Umar radiallahu anhu, he's sitting in Madinah Munawwara. Major wars are being fought, but he's got his finger on the pulse. Every move they're making, the news must come to him. He will then instruct, do like this, do like that, send reinforcements there, don't go there, do this here. He had his finger on the pulse. Today, many of us, we make this mistake. We take our foot off the pedal, finger off the pulse, and we think, no, it will just run. Sometimes, people, they spend their whole lives establishing a business. Established a business for themselves. Now they want to put the son into the business. Or they feel, now take it easy, I've got a good manager, whatever. And next thing, when they go to take it easy, they take it very easy. Now they're flying overseas, going here all day, sleeping till 10, 11 o'clock, Ramadan time, don't go shop. 5 years later, when they go to sea, now there's a big hole there. Healthy, good business, now there's a big hole. Why? Because you never keep your finger on the pulse. Allah Ta'ala gave a business, it's a source of rozi, it's a ni'mat from Allah Ta'ala. You don't get too immersed in it, but you must know what's going on. You must know what is going on. Understand? So in anything, whether it's in deen, you're in jamaat, you're the ameer of the jamaat, you must know what's happening with all your satis. Whether it's in dunya, whether it's in deen. Must have your finger on the pulse. Jeev. So that brings us now to the end of, you know, the wars in the Persian territories, right? So now we come to the wars in the Levant, Sham, what you call Sham, also Egypt and Libya. Now Sham is not what we call Syria today. Syria is just one small portion of Sham. Sham is much greater than just Syria. So the first letter that reached Sham from Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu after taking charge carried the news of the demise of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Now you got to understand how this kitab is written, right? The author didn't give now in the third year or in the first year of the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. So he fought in Persia, he fought here. No. The author took the region. He gave you all the wars in that region during the entire Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. So now he's taking the next region. The next region is the Levant, Egypt, Libya, and the Levant. Yeah? Sham, what we call Sham. So now we're going back to the early days of Umar Nanu's Khilafat. So he said the first letter that reached them was informing them of the demise of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Right? Abu Bakr was the Khalifa, now Abu Bakr non passed away. Right? So this was the letter. Says Abu Bakr, the Khalifa of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam has passed away. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. May Allah Ta'ala's mercy and blessings be upon Abu Bakr, the sincere person who worked truthfully and sincerely, the doer of good, who was lenient and used to conceal people's faults. He was gentle. He was easygoing, understanding and wise. Now today's times, each leader is busy deriding the other leader. Wants to put the person down. No, vote me in. That person is no good. When he comes in office, say, ah, now, I'll show you all. That man was a waste of time. Now I'm going to do like this and do it. Eh? But look at Umar ibn Khattab. He is full of praise for Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. We ask Allah Ta'ala to recompense the Muslims in their hour of distress. That we are all distressed now. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu has passed away. I turn towards Allah Ta'ala to save us by His mercy from sins by making us fear Allah. Right? To make us obedient to Allah Ta'ala as long as we are alive and to grant us entry into Jannah when we pass away, because Allah Ta'ala is able to do anything. Okay? We have been informed, Umar Nauna is part of the letter. So he's telling them, we have been informed that you are besieging Damascus. You have laid siege now to Damascus. I have appointed you the commander of the Muslims there. Send platoons to the suburbs of Damascus, Homs, till today it's still called the same names, and other parts of the Levant. Discuss this matter with the Muslims present with you and take a decision. I do not mean that you should make your position weak by dispatching the troops to various locations that you will become vulnerable. Don't do that. What I mean is that those troops which you can do without, meaning they are extras, dispatch them to other locations, and those you think are necessary for the siege of Damascus, keep them with you. Let Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu stay with you, since he is indispensable for you. I must remember, before this letter came, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu was the Amir. This letter is now making Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu the Amir. So now, when Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu received the letter, he called Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhu and he made him read it also. The courier who had brought the letter said, he has asked you to tell him about the condition of the people here, especially Khalid bin Walid. What sort of a person is he? Also inform him about Yazid bin Abi Sufyan and Amr bin Al-As radiallahu anhum. How are they in their dealings and their sincerity to the Muslims? So Abu Ubaidah and Muaz bin Jabal radiallahu anhuma wrote a joint reply. They wrote together to Umar radiallahu anhu. From Abu Ubaidah bin Jarrah and Muaz bin Jabal to Umar bin Khattab. Assalamu alaikum. This is how the letter started. We praise Allah the Almighty, besides whom none is worthy of worship. We advise you that it is very important for you to understand your situation. They're giving Umar radiallahu anhu advice. That see, now you are the Amir al-Mu'mineen. You must understand your responsibility. Umar, you have been entrusted with the entire nation of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether they are black or white. Now, you will have in your audience enemies and friends. Some people in your close to you, they are your enemies. Some are your friends. Some are noble and some are not noble. Some are strong, some are weak. Each of them has rights over you. The rights of justice. Now imagine, they're sitting there in the battlefield. They're not writing to him to say, hey, right, you're the Amir al-Mu'mineen now. We need food. We need more armor. We need more weapons. No. They're giving him advice for his akhirat. This was the concern. You see, when you say ad-deenun nasiha, deen is to have the goodness of every Muslim at heart. So they were worried about him. Now he's the Amir al-Mu'mineen. So each of them has rights over you, the right of justice. Watch how you perform. We remind you of the day of Qiyamah, when people will be held to account for their secrets, when everything will be laid bare, secrets will become apparent, and everyone will submit to the mighty King Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be overawed by His might. Everyone will feel meek in front of Him, waiting for His judgment and fearing His punishment. We have been told that there will be people in this ummah who will apparently be like brothers, but secretly they will bear enmity towards each other. We ask Allah Ta'ala to protect us from this. Let this letter find the same place in your hand that your letter found in our hearts. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This was the letter they wrote to Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, when now the news starts spreading, right? When Khalid radiallahu anhu got the news that he had been relieved of command, that he is no more the Amir. Now, he led the wars. I mean, he brought them right to the doors of Damascus, right? All under his leadership. And now he is being stripped of his position. Right? But when, look at the ikhlas. Right? When he got the news now that he's been relieved of his command, he went to Abu Ubaidah. He said to him, may Allah forgive you. You received the instructions of Amir al-Mu'mineen, appointing you as the Amir, but you didn't inform me. You allowed me to continue performing the salah while this was your right now. It was your haq. You are now in authority. So he didn't get upset that now or why you took me off my post, and where are you going to lead this war? What do you know about this terrain? I got all the victories. No. He came to him, he said, you didn't tell me. I'm still reading the namaz here. You're supposed to be reading the namaz. How can I be performing the namaz now? You are the Amir. Now look at the response of Abu Ubaidah. If Allah Pak can only give us this kind of akhlaq, this kind of sincerity, it only comes with humility. Total humility, and you're doing everything for Allah Ta'ala. There's no nafs involved. Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu, he replies to Khalid bin Walid. He says, may Allah Ta'ala forgive you also. I would never have informed you until you learnt it from someone else. So I was not going to tell you. I did not want to interrupt your battles. You had everything set here, everything was going. We were at a very crucial juncture. I didn't want to upset the car. Until you had fulfilled the mission. After that only I would have informed you. I do not desire power and authority in this world. Nor do I work for this world. What you see today will finish and go away one day. We are brothers. We are brothers upholding the commandments of Allah Ta'ala. A man is not harmed in any dini or dunyavi sense if his brother is placed in authority over him. On the contrary, the one who is given authority knows that he is more likely to go through trials and more likely to make mistakes due to his precarious position. That now there's more zimedari, there's more responsibilities. If you're not the leader, you only have to worry about yourself. But now when you're the leader, now everyone is your responsibility. He says, except for those whom Allah Ta'ala saves. And they are very few. So only after saying this, he then gave Umar radiallahu anhu's letter to Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. So they were not hungry for power and leadership. And they had the work in front of them. Allah's deen needs to be established, finished. That's all. No other sideshows. You can't even imagine. We can't even begin to imagine their iman. That's why I think it was, you see, Umar bin Abdul Aziz, right? He was a Khalifa, he's not a Sahabi. Later he was an Abbasid Khalifa. But they used to call him Umar the Second because he brought back the glory days of the Khulafa'i Rashidin, like, you know. So I think it was him. Somebody asked him that how would you fare in comparison to the Sahaba now? I think it was him or it was somebody else, some pious personality, right? So the answer he gave, he says, I am not even worth the dust in the nostrils of the animal of the Sahabi. The Sahabi is mounting the animal to go for jihad. The dust in the nostrils of that animal, I'm not even worth that. Forget comparing me to Sahabi. Sahaba was something else. The love they had for Allah Ta'ala, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the loyalty, the fikr for deen, something else. There was one person, he used to read a lot of Durood Sharif. Yeah? And follow the sunnah, and you know, like. So one day this thought came to him, thought came in his mind. He says, hey, I must be somewhere near there, man. The love that Sahaba radiallahu anhu had for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I must be somewhere near there. This thought just came in his mind. So, that night, he sees a dream. There's a knock on his door. He opens the door. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is here for you. Yeah? So he goes out. There's a carriage. You know, like a horse cart. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting in the cart. And four sahaba are sitting radiallahu anhum. They are sitting with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he gets into this cart. And the cart begins to move. Yeah? Now this cart is going very fast. Horses are galloping fast. And they're going downhill. And next thing, the driver of the cart, he shouts, you know what? No brakes. He can't stop the horses. The reins, to pull the horses, the reins snapped. He can't stop the horses. Horses are running downhill. And there's a rock in the path. So he shouts to them, hey, you're going to do something to save Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this man in his dream now, he's looking around to think, hey, let me find one stick or, you know, something I can jam the tire, you know, the wheel of the cart, can jam it, can bring this cart to a stop. So while he's still thinking and he's looking around what he can grab something to do something, the cart comes to a standstill. So he gets a shock. Hey, how did this cart stop? So he looks in the cart. He only sees Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The four sahaba are not in the cart. He looks down. These sahaba, they jumped down and caught the wheel. Now they are injured, bleeding, like they're going to become shaheed. Right? They'll pass away. Right? But they jumped down, they became human brakes. And then he woke up. When he woke up, he made tawbah. Said, Ya Allah, we'll never reach that. We can never reach. See, I'm still thinking now, what I can, I don't want to put myself in danger. They didn't think of themselves. Their priority was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.